Chumash says that one who is ma'anis ha'mafata naira besula has to pay 50 shekel kesef, kemohar ha'besulois. Poshe b'shat is kemohar ha'besulois, that corresponds to the amount of money that they used to give a besula for the ksuba b'zman matan Torah. That was the practice. So because he was ma'anis ha'mafata her, so now she will not be able to get a ksuba's besula from whoever she's going to marry later on. So the Gemara has a machlekes hatanoim that's repeated every 25 dafim in the Masechta, whether the Chumash is assuming that there's such a thing as mor habsulas, ksubas besula. Does that mean that ksubas besula is deraisa, and only ksubas almana is a takana derabbanan kadesh leitekala be'enav lahitzia, or should we say no? The Chumash is recording that was the practice, that was the minig by the nations of the world, bisman matan Torah, to give a ksuba to a besula. But it doesn't say that you're mechuyev to. That was the minig, and the Torah said that and it's a mefata pays 50 shekel kesef, corresponding to that minig. But the Chumash never said that you're mechuyev to. So that's a machlokes hatanoim, whether ksubas besulas deraisa derabbanan. Rov harishonim paskin, that's the long rush in the first perek. Rov harishonim hold that ksubas derabbanan, ksubas besula, ksubas salmona. Everything is all the Rabbanan Kadesh Leitekala B'yana V'loitziya. And the Rabbein and Tom says no. The Rabbein and Tom says that since we have the Ashkenazim, have the practice that we write in the Ksuba, the Chazilich Midi Araisa, the Ksuba's Besula is the Araisa. What's the difference, Halacha L'maisa? A few slight nafkaminas, Halacha L'maisa, where the Ksuba's Besula is the Araisa, the Rabbanan. There should have been a major nafkamina between the two, based on the Gemara in Kiddushin in the first parak, Gemara in the end of Pchoris, that there were two monetary systems that were running concurrently, Bizman Atanoim, like you have American dollars and Canadian dollars. So they each monetary system has, you have pennies, nickels, dimes, quarters, half dollars and dollars. But the Canadian dollar is not the same as the American dollar. So everything is not the same amount of money. So Bizman Atanoim, they had also pennies, nickels, dimes, quarters. They had Kesef Tzuri and Kesef Medina. And the Kesef Tzuri, each coin was worth 8 times its counterpart by the Kesef Medina. So the Gemara says, whenever you have a chiyuv to pay an amount of money, whenever it says in Chumash, it says in Mishnah, so which monetary system are you talking about? Do you have to give the higher amount or the lower amount? So the Gemara says, Kol Kesef Ha'omer Batoira, it says Shloshim Shalevet, Mafzal Shekel, Hamishim Shekel Kesef Ha'inus Ha'mefata, and Meo Shekel Kesef, and Moitzi Shemra, and so on. So Kol Kesef Haman Bator is Kesef Tzuri. That's the higher matter. Shel Divreyim, if it's a Din Derabbanan, like in Perek HaChevel, it says if you smack someone in the face, or you hit him on the ear, so it says how much you have to pay. So whenever it's a Takana Derabbanan, so the Tanoim instituted it using the language of their generation. They're talking about Kesef Medina, the lower value, not the higher value. So should have made a here, whether if ksubas besulas deraisa, you got to pay the larger, the higher amount of money. Ksubas besulas derabbanan, pay the lower amount. So that's what the Ramah and Simon Samach Vav is all about ksuba. The Ramah quotes the Rosh there in the first parak, where the Rosh defends the practice of the Minig Ashkenaz to write the Chazi Lichi Midya Raisa. So the Rabbeinu Tam says, because we pass Kesulas Deraisa. The Rosh says, no, we don't accept that, Rabbeinu Tam. Where was this Rosh? Simi Yutes, and Perek Aleph Simi Yutes. So the Rosh says, we don't accept the Rabbeinu Tam. All the Gainim and all the Rishonim hold the Kesubas love Deraisa. But why do we write to Chazi Lichma Deraisa? Because you have to pay Kesef Tzuri, because the whole institution of ksuba is referred to in the Chumash. Kesef yishkol kemor habsulas. And the 50 shkolim that one pays for Einus HaMefate is 50 shkolim a kesef tzuri. So even though we paskin that ksuba is lav deraisa, it's only a takana derabbanan, but you have to pay 50 shkolim a kesef tzuri. So that's why we write, the chazi lichma deraisa does mean you deserve it min haTorah. It means you deserve it min derabbanan, but it's deraisa dika money. So the Ramah quotes this lahaloch. The Ramah says also, and this we don't accept, the Ramah and Simon Samach Vav writes that the same is true regarding ksubas almana. An almana, a grusha gets half the amount, instead of Masayim she gets money. So that's everything is the higher amounts. The Almana gets half the amount a kesef tzuri. So that the Beis Shmuel says we don't accept that halach lamaisa, since the whole takana of suba salman is only the rabbanon. So there it's kesef bendina. So we always assume how much is it says, and there are three parts to every ksuba. There's the ikke ksuba, the sefes ksuba, and the nedunya. So the ikke ksuba is the masayim zuz. Masayim zuz because there are four zuzim in every shekel, and chamishim shekel kesef is kesef yishkol kemora psulas. And so on is mafatin ksuba. So true, we pask on the whole chiyuv to give the ksuba is only the rabbanon, but you have to give 50 shkolim a kesef tzuri, and that's masayim zuz. How much does that turn out to be? The 50 shkolim, the masayim zuz. It doesn't turn out to be so much. Pidyon HaBen is 5 shkolim. And this is 50 shkolim. So it's 10 times Pidyon HaBen. Wherever you give for Pidyon HaBen, you give 10 times as much. How much do you have to give for Pidyon HaBen? So that's we discussed the other day in Shir. Kevishir and Hilchas Pidyon HaBen. There are different opinions. The accepted opinion, most of the poskim are of the opinion that Meikar Adin, 96 grams of pure silver is the equivalent of 5 shkolim. So if you have to give 50 shkolim over here, so it's 10 times Pidyon HaBen. So it's instead of 96 grams, 960 grams. Okay. Now it turns out to be, years ago it used to be very little. Now it turns out to be over $100, I think, Pidyon HaBen. It's expensive to have it. So if you have a baby boy first, you got to pay not only the doctors for the delivery, you have to pay the coin for the Pidyon HaBen money. Okay, so that's the Ikke Ksuba. So you write the Ikke Ksuba. By Ksubas Be'ula, Ksubas, if the girl is getting married for the second time, she's an Almana or a Grusha, so then you only give her Me'o Zuz, but the Me'o Zuz is not Kesef Tzuri. The Beis Shmuel says we don't follow that Ramah. The Me'o Zuz is Kesef Medina. So it's not one half the almana when she gets married. She doesn't get half the amount of the ikke ksuba. She gets 1/16 the amount. She gets half the amount, but the units of dollars that you're working with are kesef medina money. So it's 1/8 the value of the matbeis that you're using for the kesef tzuri. So the ksuba's almana is 1/16 the value of the ksuba's pesula. Not 1/2 the amount. That's surprising. So that's the first. That's the ikke ksuba. That's the ikke ksuba. So the ikke ksuba is 10 times Pidyon HaBen. So let's say Pidyon HaBen these days is worth $100. So 10 times $100 is $1,000. The whole idea of a Masayim Zuz is that the girl will have money to live on for a year until she'll find another shidduch. If the husband divorces, the husband dies, how much can she live on for $1,000? It's very little. So it's hardly anything. If she fits twice a week and she goes and invites herself out for every Shabbos, it's very little. So we add on much more. So we add on, the Mishnah says in Perek Afalpi that you have a right, even though the Chacham made a takana, that so much is the ksuba, but if you want to add on tosefes, you can even add on tosefes merubal ho'ikir. You can add on more. So that's what we do. Everyone adds on tosefes ksuba. If the girl is getting married for the first time, so you add on Me'er Zekukin, Hosef Lo Min Delay, the Chosin added on Me'er Zekukin Kesef Tzor. Zekukin are not coins that are mentioned in the Gemara. These are coins that existed in the days of the Maharil. How much is a Zekuk? So the Vilna Gaon writes, in his commentary on Ibn Ezra, the Vilna Gaon writes that each Zekuk is the value of 3 times Pidyon HaBen. So it's going to be way more. If the girl is getting married for the second time, so we give her 50 zakuk and kesef tzorb as tosefes. Girl getting married for the first time, you add on tosefes ksuba 100 zakuk and kesef tzorb. And then we also add on the third part to every ksuba is nichsei tzorn barzel. Nichsei tzorn barzel is you assess the value of all of the property that the girl is bringing into the marriage. Girl has clothing that her parents bought for her the last 20 years when she was single. And she has jewelry, and perhaps her mother bought her sheets, maybe furniture, maybe the father bought them an automobile, maybe the father bought them a home in Yerushalayim, whatever the girl brings into the marriage. So you're supposed to assess all of this and write down how much this is worth into the ksuba. That's called nichsei tzorn barzel. And even though they're going to be married for many years and the dress is going to be worn out and she's going to lose the jewelry, and the car is going to be total, it's going to be ruined and everything, but the husband is mechuyif to pay back. That's called nechsei tzayin barzel. Tzon, sheep, get old and they die, and goodbye. They die, they're not worth anything. If you would have such a thing as tzon barzel, tzon that is made from metal, so the metal is going to last on forever, so we call the nedunya, that's another word for nechsei tzayin barzel, we call the nedunya all the value of all of the property that she brings into the marriage. The husband is mechuyif to pay her back that full amount, even though all the dresses were all ruined. They were married for many years, and all the dresses are gone already. And she lost all the jewelry, and everything is gone. But the husband was mishabin himself that in the event that he divorces her, in the event that he dies, he has to give her the ikir ksuba, the tesefes ksuba, and the nechsei tzayin barzel, the nedunya, the value of all the property that she brought into the marriage. So we for many years, they had a minhag that they wrote down arbitrarily. They would assess if the girl was getting married for the first time, they would write down arbitrarily 100 zukukin kesef tzorof for tzefes and 100 zukukin kesef tzorof for the nechsei tzayin barzel. That, for many years, the Jews in Eastern Europe were so poor, that was way more. That was quite an exaggeration. That was way more than any nechsei tzayin barzel, way more than all of the value of everything she's bringing into the marriage. That was a minute that they used to exaggerate. In Eretz Yisrael, they really estimate how much everything is worth, because if they're going to get divorced, he's going to have to pay back. In America, for many years, the husband had to pay alimony. The courts would make him pay alimony. The alimony was always much more than the whole ksuba was worth. So you have no right to collect both. The whole idea of ksuba is that it's an alimony. You can't collect double alimony. But then in the later years, before Moshe passed away, they already changed the laws of alimony, that if the wife is making more money than the husband, the wife has to pay alimony to the husband. And sometimes they divide the property and everything, so the husband doesn't always pay alimony. So Rav Moshe says we have to really assess whichever is the higher amount, either this, whatever the courts will make the husband pay, or the ksuba, whichever is the higher amount, he has to pay. He has to pay that in alimony. So sometimes, so Rav Moshe says we have to really assess how much is the ksuba really worth. So the minhag always was, Beis Shmuel quotes this, two opinions. The minhag always was, even though you wrote three different amounts in the ksuba, you wrote the ikir ksuba, tesefek ksuba, and then the nedunya, so it should really be, the ikir ksuba should be 10 times pinyon aben. Then the tesefek ksuba, we pick arbitrarily 100 zukukin kesef tzorof. And then the nedunya, we write arbitrarily 100 zukukin kesef tzorof. So it should really be, you should add up all three together. It should be 200, we write sachakom asayim zukukin kesef tzorof. You add up the last two amounts. What about the first amount? What about the ikir ksuba? So the minhag is that we don't collect all three. The minhag is that we assume when you wrote the tosefes ksuba and when you wrote the nedunya, you assess the value of all the property that the girl is bringing into the marriage. That absorbs the ikir ksuba. So when lamaisa, when the couple gets divorced or the husband dies and the wife is entitled to collect the ksuba, she only collects the masayim zukuk and kesef tzorof. If she's an almana, if she was an almana when they got married, so she only collects the mayor's zakuk and kesef tzorof. Yeah. So that's what we call a ksuba, the document that the chosen has to give to the wife. And the Gemara has a takana midirabbanan. We assume the whole ksuba is only midirabbanan. And the Gemara has a machlokes hatanaim, and the accepted opinion is, also l'adam, l'hasha sesish d'shachas v'lo ksuba. They're not allowed to live together, the kederach ish v'yishtoi, unless the woman has the ksuba. It doesn't mean after going on a trip to Switzerland, they're going skiing in the Alps, that she has to have the ksuba in her pocketbook all the time. As long as she knows where the ksuba is, or she has, her parents are holding on to the ksuba. One of my daughters got married in Yerushalayim, so they said the meaning of Yerushalayim is that the husband gives the ksuba to the wife under the chuppah, the wife gives it to her parents. So we're holding on to her ksuba. She doesn't have the ksuba. She knows that it's in our home. It's in a safe location. If the wife loses the ksuba, or if you think that the ksuba is lost, then you have to write a new ksuba, because you're not allowed to live together without a ksuba. That's based on a Mishnah in the end of Bava Basra. Mishnah Bava Basra says, if I have a shtar chayv that says that you owe me $100,000, and then the shtar chayv was burnt, so if there or the ink faded, the ink wore out. Ballpoint ink, if you leave it exposed to the sunlight long enough, it's going to disappear. So let's say I had a shtar, and the witnesses know what it said, and then they know now that the whole thing faded. So the Mishnah says, you get a bezin, and the witnesses testify in front of the Bezim what it said in the shtar, and the Bezim will write me another shtar. So the same is true by Ksuba Deirkiso. There's a sefer called Nachla Shiva. Nachla Shiva was written several centuries ago. Nachla Shiva is, I think, from the 1500s, maybe the 1600s. 1600s, I think. So the Nachla Shiva gives you the text of the Ksuba, and he discusses, he has a whole essay on every word in the text of the Ksuba. He has the text of the Tanoim, explains every word and all the Dinim. So the Nachla Shiva quote Poskim will say that whenever you have to write a Ksuba Dirkasa, you should have a Bezin, because that's the Loshan and the Mishnah Bava Basra. Imam at all of Bezin. So it should be done by Yom, it should be done with three people. It shouldn't be done. Ksuba usually you can fit, all you need are two witnesses and they can sign Balaila. But if you say you need a Bezin, L'chatchila, we're machma like that. The Ksuba Dirkasa should be filled out by Bezin, should be by Yom. I was married a few years, we had two children, we had two daughters. Then my wife thought that she lost her Ksuba. So we had to fill out the Ksuba Dirkasa. So we did it by Yom. We had three people from our building. And then one of the men, who was one of the three, said, Mazel Tov, this time it should be a boy. Our next baby was a boy. And then my wife found the old Ksuba. So he found the old Ksuba. What do you need the Ksuba Dirkasa for? So you're not allowed to have two shtaris on the same chov, because the woman may collect twice. She'll go to one bezin and collect, and she'll make believe, go to another bezin and make believe she never collected yet. So if you have a shtar that you have an extra shtar, you have to rip one of them up. So what you do is you make a keret bezin, you fold it into four parts. Here you fold it in half, and you fold it again in half, and then you take a scissors and you cut it over here, like this. So then when you open up the document, you're going to have what we call a keret bezin. You're going to have a crisscross right in the middle. So that's a simon that this shtar was already is puzzle for some reason or other. A lot of times you have a shtar because you fold it, so it's going to get ripped on the line where you folded it. So that's not a keret bezin. It could be that shtar is still good. You prove that it fell apart and put some tape on it. But if it has a keret bezin on it, then for sure it's not acceptable. So if you fill that Ksuba Dirkasa, it happens a lot. The woman thinks she lost the Ksuba. Then you make a Ksuba Dirkasa, then you find the old Ksuba. So they're not supposed to have two shtars on the same amount. So you make a. So if you want to keep the new one, rip up the old one. You want to keep the old one, rip up the new one. So you have to make a keret bezin on one of them. Ksuba is a shtar raya. It's not a shtar kinyan. The ksuba is a takanas chachamim. The fact that you have to give ikka ksuba, that's a takanas chachamim. The fact that you accept on yourself to give tosefes ksuba, that's your hischaivus midas, that you accept on your own. So the two ways to create a hischaivus, either with sudur, kinyan sudur, or kinyan shtar. So our practice is that we make a kinyan sudur with the chassan. Really, the kala should be that the kala should give her handkerchief to the chassan, because the Gemara has a machlokes. How do you do a kinyan sudur? So we paskin in Bob Mitzvah Perek Hazov. We paskin the kelev shel kaina. So the kaina is the kala. So the kala should really be there, but the kala is in the other room. The chassan is in this room. So the rabbi gives his handkerchief to the chassan as representing the kala. Tyson says in Kiddusha and Achavav that based on Zachal Adam Shleibefonov, the girl stands to gain everything and to lose nothing. Are the dinners, but you need Caleb Shalkaina. So the rabbi is giving his handkerchief. It's not the Kala's handkerchief. So Tyson says that's okay. That's me din Ebet Kanaini. The dinners, you can be Meshachar and Ebet Kanaini, Ayadei Kesef. So the Mishnah quotes the Tanaim asking Kiddushin, how can the Ebet Kanaini have any money? Mashukana Ebet Kana Rabbi. It's a din deraisa. The Ebet doesn't have any assets. So one Tana says, the Ebet Kanaini, Yotze Lecheris, the Kesef Ayadei Acherim. If someone else gives the Kesef on behalf of the Ebet, he should be Yotze Lecheris. That's also called Kenyan Kesef. So here also, Taisa says, we're making a Kenyan Suder based on Ebet Kanaini. The rabbi gives his handkerchief, one of the Eidim gives his handkerchief to the Chosin as representing the Kala, Midin Zachadam Shlebefanov, and Midin Ebet Kanaini, that's a valid Kenyan. So you have to have the Kabbalah's Kenyan Suder. The Kala is not here. The Kala is in the other room when the Eidim sign on the Ksuba. So the Mishnah says in the end of Bava Basra, Daf Kuf Samazayin, the top line on the base, Kosim Shtar Loiva Afal Pishain Malva Imoy. You have to have, when you write a Shtar, you have to have Dasim Eschayv. So the Loiva, if someone, I'm going to tell witnesses, write a Shtar that he owes me $1 million. How can you write a Shtar? He has to authorize you to write a Shtar. So if the chassan says to the Edom, write a shtar that I owe the kala a tosefes ktsuba, that's fine. Kosem shtar l'loiva. If the loiva authorizes the writing of the shtar, that's fine. That's das hamischad. So the chassan can authorize the writing of the shtar. So the Gemara raises an issue, though, in Bo Metzia on Daf Yud Beis, the end of Bo Metzia, going over to Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. The Gemara says, Velechish, how can the Edom assign such a shtar? Maybe the loiva will tell the Edom, write a shtar, and they'll write as a Shiba Nechassim beginning today, and he won't give the shtar halvoya, the loiva won't give the shtar halvoya to the Malv until a half a year later. So the Gemara says, Velechish, why aren't we concerned about the possibility? So it'll turn out, until a loiva gives the shtar to the malve, it's not koina. You need tfisas bala shtar. So it has today's date, and it doesn't take effect until 6 months later. So then the malve will be able to collect from the lakuchas, the bought karka from the loiva, during the interim period of the 6 months. So how can the Edom assign such a shtar? May come out a kilkul. So the Gemara said, the answer is, that's how we pass. Can bishtori aknaisa. If the Edim made a Kabbalah's Kinyan with the Loiva, and over here also, the Edim make a, you know, the Rabbi, the Edim make a Kabbalah's Kinyan with the Chosin, that the Shiba Nechosa begins as of now, even if he doesn't give the Ksuba to the Kala for another year. Shiba Nechosa begins now. So that's what the Gemara said, Bishtori Aknaisa. There's no problem of Shema Kosa of Lilvas Benissim Lailah Bat Tishri. Yeah, Rav Moshe Feinstein has a sefer on Bava Metzia that's called Dibros Moshe. So he has an interpretation of a tesis in the first perik in Bava Metzia. He says that if the even if the Edom made a Kabbalah's Kinyan with the Chosin, he's not even married yet. He's only engaged to the girl. You don't even have Erisin. So Rav Moshe claims that even if they made a Kabbalah's Kinyan with the Chosin, the Sheep and the Chosin can't be Chal. Because the Ibn Chosim only means it's possible to collect. It's not shach to collect, there is no Chiyuv. Chiyuv doesn't begin until after they're married. The Moshe thinks that if they make the Kabbalah's Kinyan in the daytime, and they're not going to have the Chup until the nighttime, so the Shib Nechosim cannot be Chal right away. So he says you have to write the date from the nighttime. But then, apparently, and Moshe says, it's one short paragraph in the Dibros Moshe. He says, not like the common practice is that everyone writes the date when they made the Kabbalah's Kinyan. He writes that's not acceptable. But then in the Tshuvas, you read a Tshuva that he wrote years later, he backed out from that, and that's the common practice. Everybody knows. You can make the Kabbalah's Kinyan by Yom, even though you're not going to get married till Balai, because the Shim Nechosim will be Chal by Yom. Some people have an insistence. The Ksuba does not have to be written Lishma. A get has to be written Lishma, pasuk. A non-Jew cannot write a get because he needs Lishma, and a Nochri is not capable of writing Lishma al Pidin. A Ksuba can be written by a non-Jew. They had a whole article in the New York Times a couple of years ago that there's some non-Jew who does Hebrew calligraphy and he's an expert on writing Ksuba. So, Gesunta, hey, there's no problem. You don't need Ksuba Lishma. The common practice is they have a printed Ksuba and you fill in the date and the names and the city and so on. So this is a bit, it's not a problem of Lishma. We paskin a Ksuba doesn't need Lishma. It's a problem that the Ksuba is printed in Ksav Ashuris. And when we fill in the dates, the date and the name, we fill in handwriting. We don't write it in block letters. So that is a bit of a problem. In Hilchas Gerishin, there is a machlekes, the Ramam and the Ravid. If you have a get, that's nichta b'shtei l'shaynes. Half of the get is written in Hebrew and half of the get is written in English. Let's say there's a takonas chachamim, there's a takonas hatanoim. When you write a get, you have to write kol shum mechanicha disle. You have to write all the nicknames that the husband has and that the wife has and that the fathers have and so on. A lot of times the husband has a Hebrew name and then he has a goyish name in English. So it's hard to transliterate, to write an English name. His name is Jimmy. How are you going to write Jimmy in English, in Hebrew? So maybe you can write Jimmy in English. So we're machma, we don't. The Rambam says, if you have a get that's nichta b'sheil u'shaynes, it's not acceptable. Two different languages, there's no hemshech. The Ravid disagrees, and the Ravid says that the issue depends on two readings in the Tosefta. He says the Rambam had a faulty girsa in the Tosefta, and there's nothing wrong. So some of the poskim write that just like we're choshish for the Rambam, that we don't write a get b'sheil u'shaynes. That's why it's hard to figure out how to spell the goyish names. in a get. So the same thing, you shouldn't write a get in two scripts. There's no hemshech, even if it's all in the same language. Maybe there's no hemshech between block letters in written Hebrew. So if you have that'll be an issue. So if you have a ksuba that's printed in block letters or in ksav ashuris, and then you're going to fill in the names and the date in a script alphabet, so some poskim hold that's also a problem. According to the Rambam, just like shtei lashonos, there's no hemshech. So from two different scripts, there's no hemshech. That'll be an issue.
What do you do?
So you should fill that out in block letters. Yeah, it could be. Yeah. By davening, let's say a person davens in Hebrew, says Shmon Esrei, then he wants to add a tefillah for a chaylus. He can add the tefillah in Yiddish or in English, whatever language he speaks. Yeah. The need for a ksuba is only with the rabbanim, but the ksuba is a shtar on the level of their eisa. Once you write it, it's a real shtar. So b'chatchila, you should be choshish for that, maybe. Really, we should be choshish for that. The Gemara has a discussion in Gittin and Daf Chavav on the base. Are you concerned about Mechzik Shikra? What does it mean, Mechzik Shikra? So the Gemara says, let's say a man wrote a get to divorce his wife, and then he changed his mind, and a different man lives in the same city, has the same name, and his wife has the same name, and the other husband wants to use this get. So we say it's no good because in Iksiva Lishma, the get was written for the first couple, not for the second couple. According to Rav Meir's opinion, there's no requirement for Iksiva Saget Lishma, he just needs Chasim Saedim Lishma. So Rav Meir says that it's even good L'chatchila, even though the get was written for the first couple, but the Edim didn't sign yet. So if the second husband takes the get out of the garbage and he sees it has my name, my wife's name, he can tell witnesses, sign the get, Lishma, and I'm going to divorce my wife. But it was written for the other couple. So the Gemara says, you're not worried about Mechzik Yishikra. So the Gemara says that this is a contradiction, seems to be a contradiction to a memra that one of the Rapapi said. Let's say you have a shtar halvoa, and the loiva says that it's mezuyif. I never borrowed the money, I don't know who the guy is, and I don't want to pay back. The whole thing is a false. So the menatoira, the mala can collect them. The rabbanu, we insist that the mala has to make kiyum hashtar. So what does it mean kiyum hashtar? Witnesses come and they testify that this is our authentic signature. We remember signing it. Or we don't remember signing it, but that's the way that looks like our unique signature. So the bezin writes a kiyum hashtar. So what if the bezin is waiting for the edim to come, and it's getting late? So they want to write the kiyum hashtar before the edim come and testify, but they're not going to give it. They're not going to sign it, or they are going to sign it, but they're not going to give it to the Malvin. They're not going to give the Kiyum Hashtar to the Malvin until the Edim come and they testify. So Rapapi says, Ashar to the Daina, a Kiyum Hashtar that was written by the Bezdin before the Edim testified, is not acceptable because Mechzik is Shikra. Because it says, we ascertain that the signatures are authentic, and at the time the document was written, they had not yet ascertained it. So it's Mechzik is Shikra, it's no good. So the Gemara says, these two seem to contradict each other. Rav Meir says, even if the first husband wrote the get for his wife and he threw it in the garbage, the second husband picks it up out of the garbage, and he has Edom sign, it's good. You're not worried about Mechzik Shikra. It's clearly written for a different person. So the Gemara says, we don't pass like Rav Papi. Lazily, the Rav Papi, there's no problem on Mechzik Shikra. Taisus there has another girsa, Velesa. Instead of saying Velesa le the Rav Papi, in Gitna Chavav and Beis, Tais has another gear, so Velesa, that the Kasha is not a Kasha, Velesa the Kasha, that there's a difference. Rapapi's din is a Shtar Maisa Bezdin, that Bezdin is writing a Kiyom Ashtar. So Bezdin should do everything up and above board. Bezdin shouldn't do Mechzik Shikra. But a get is a private thing. Bezdin doesn't write the get, the husband writes a get. So there you don't have to worry about the Mechzik Shikra. Yeah. So some have a Chumrah that we treat the Ksuba as if it's a shtar maisa bezdin. Where'd they get this from? Because classically, traditionally, this is not a halacha, but this is just the practice used to be, on a tanoim, if you look at a tanoim, the date is on the last line. On a ksuba and a get, the date is on the first line. How come? It doesn't make a difference. So the Nachla Shiva quotes, Nachla Shiva explains every word, every phrase in the ksuba, So he says, traditionally, on a shtar ma'aseh bezdin, you put the zman on the first page, in the very beginning. Masheni kein on a private shtar, so the tanoim is a private shtar, so you put the zman on the last line. And a shtar ma'aseh bezdin, you put on the first line. So why is the get and why is the ksuba shtar ma'aseh bezdin? Because the Gemara quotes a takana of the later Amoraim, Masheni debetiv git mekidushin lo yehela esikim moim. That a get should only be written under the supervision of a mesader get, and you need like a bezin. That's in Shulchan Aruch, we treat a ksivas get as if it's authorized by a bezin. And the ksuba also, mishena you need a bezin to fill out the ksuba. So since we treat the ksuba and the get as if it's a maisa bezin, it's done under the auspices of a bezin or a dain hamamun al kach, so that's why the meaning is that you put this man first. So if you put two and two together, if you're going to be machman like that, girsin teisvis, velese lakushya, that mechzik is shikra is a problem and a shtar ma'aseh bezdin. And you're going to treat a ksuba as if it's a shtar ma'aseh bezdin. So then, if you're going to take a printed ksuba and it says, it's already printed, we already made a kabbalah's kenyan with the chasen and all of the above. So it's already printed before he even made the kabbalah's kenyan. So that's why they have this chumra in recent years, that they leave out the word v'kandinamine, and you only fill in the word, you fill in the missing word v'kandinamine after the rabbi actually makes the Kabbalah's Kenyan with the chosen, that it shouldn't be mechzik shikra. The Shach writes in Choshem Ishbot that Shach lived in Vilna till the Chmelnitsky writes, and he had to run away to save his life. The Chacham Tzvi had to run away. Many rabbi and chalkas mechokek, they all lived there. So he says, we had a bezin in Vilna. He says, ma'isim chol yom. They never were machmer for that, sheet and tosis. They always used to fill out, used to sign the ptur, used to sign the kiyum ashtar before the Adam testified on the signatures, and they wouldn't give it to the malva until after the Adam had testified. They were never machmer on this mechzik shikra. What happens every so often today is that people want to be machmer, so they take a ksuba where the word v'kanina is missing, and then they forget to fill it in, and then the Edom already signed on the bottom. So what do you do? What's the din? If the Edom signed on a document that's missing things, let's say you have a ksuba, it's missing the date, let's say Edom signed on a blank piece of paper. You tell him, I'm going to write a ksuba here. So the Edom signed on the bottom, and then you fill in the whole document later. So the Pashta says that that's not acceptable. The Edom have to sign after the whole thing is written already. If it's not written yet, so what are they signing? So that's a problem. If this is a chumra that often leads to a kula. If you're going to leave out the word v'kanina, if it was good enough for the shach says even on a real ma'aseh bezdin, on a shtar ma'aseh bezdin, on a kiyum ashtar, he says they were never worried about the girsin tais. We don't pass like that. We're not worried about mechzik ashik even on a ma'aseh bezdin. But if you want to be machmer on it, then it's going to come out every so often the Eidim will have signed before they filled in the word v'kanina. So then you're in trouble. So strictly speaking, you should write another shtar. There is a nesivis in Choshen Mishpat, where the nesivis writes that Kolzman, you didn't give the shtar over to the party to whom it was supposed to be given. It doesn't give any Haggadah Seidus yet. So the nesivis holds that if you left out a word and the Edom signed it ready, you can fill in the missing word as long as you didn't give it to the Kali yet. That's a whopper of a kula. Not everyone agrees with that nesivis. That's a big kula. No, if they don't have another ksuba, they got no choice. They'll have to do like that.
Within this chumra, is it enough to just leave out one letter, or people leave out like the nun, and then you fill in the nun?
Right. Yeah. What they often do is they put the whole word and the kanina. They just have the top of the kuf. They don't have the leg.
Right.
So it reads viranina, which doesn't mean anything. And then they add on the leg. But the best is not to insult the shach. If the Shach writes this, what we did every day, we did even Mamasha Shtar Kiyum Ashtar, for sure is a Maisa Bezin. And still he says, we're not worried about that Girsa. We don't accept that opinion. So you don't have to worry about the Mechzik Yishikra. Yeah, what happens, let's say, if the Ksuba was Takapasol, the Edom signed and then they filled in the word later on, so the Nesiva says it's good. There are those who disagree with the Nesiva, so the couple is not allowed to live together. Let's say there's no other Ksuba. So the Ramah writes in Siman Samach Vav that the whole idea why the husband is not allowed to live with his wife, that the girl shouldn't be nervous that he may divorce her and he won't pay. So she has to have a raya in her hands. So the Rama says that today we follow the cherem de Rabbeinu Gershom. You can't divorce the wife against her wishes. So that din of osa lasha sesish to shachas balaksuba perhaps doesn't apply to Islam. So there's room to be made. We don't have to get so concerned about it. When you fill in the names of the Chos and Caliph, they have an English name, so you got to know in Hilchas Gittin. They have a whole list of have a whole bunch of rules and regulations. How do you spell the name of the city? How do you spell the name of the Goyish city? How do you spell the name of the Chos and Caliph? So that's a whole Isak in the Shulchan Aruch.
In it.
No, in a get there's a takana satanayim in the Mishnah that you have to write all the nikkas. In a ksuba, most are of the opinion that there is no such takana. Nachum Lashiva quotes some who insist that even in a ksuba also you have to write all the mechunas in the miskri, but that is not at all the common practice. For sure not. For sure not. The Beis Shmuel writes in his commentary on the side of the Shulchan Aruch that the minig always was that on a get the Eidim write Ploini, Ben Ploini, 8. And the Ksuba, the minhag always was, they just wrote Ploini, Ben Ploini, they didn't write 8. Why is there a difference? So he says, because the get has to be written Beloshen Habal. And the get that says, I, so-and-so, am divorcing my wife. And the Ksuba doesn't say, I am marrying the girl. It says, we, the undersigned, testify that we saw the husband, we heard the husband say, Harem Kodeshesli. Because it's in the ksuba, it says always the word eich. In the Israeli ksubas, it says anan sahadi, eich. We testify. We don't understand testify. Most of the ksubas in chutzal, they don't write anan sahadi, but they write eich. So eich means we testify that. And a get that's not supposed to say eich. If you look in the rif in the end of Gittin, so the rif has the text of the gets, and the rif it says eich. On the side in the Shulti Gibarim, he quotes from the Rosh that that's a misprint, that it's not supposed to say Eich. The get has to be written Baloshan Abal. So if the get is written Baloshan Abal, who are the two guys who signed on the bottom? So the meaning is that they, even though it's not necessary, but the meaning is they identify themselves, they write their names and they write Eich, we are witnesses. But in the Ksuba it says, we the undersigned are testifying that we saw X, Y, Z. So they don't have to identify themselves as an Eich. The minig in recent years developed, not like the Beis Shmuel, but even in the Ksuba you also write Eich. I remember once at a wedding, so one of the witnesses assigned a ksuba had smicha from Stolen Yeshiva. I didn't even know they gave smicha. So he didn't know how to spell the word eight. So he wrote his name and he spelled eight Aleph Dalet. So the Chassidish rabbi was reading the ksuba under the chuppah. He gets to the last line, he sees eight with an Aleph. So they had a pause for 15 minutes, and they made him fill out a different ksuba, which was a little ridiculous. He might fill another ksuba later on, but tell a guy, come and write an iron instead of an olive. It doesn't puzzle just because you spelled the word eight wrong. The meaning now is that you write eight at the end, yeah. The Achronim have a chumrah that in the ksuba it says, we the undersigned testify that we heard the chosin say Harem Kodeshesli. It's not true. He didn't say Harem Kodeshesli. And it says, I will love, honor, and cherish you. He didn't say any of the above. But the chassan tells him, sign the ksuba. So he made a haidos baldin that he said, I said, Habi emukudizli. And I said, I will love, honor, and cherish you. He didn't say it yet. Even under the chuppah, he doesn't say all of that. So if the chassan made a haidos baldin, so that's not a problem. The yadim can sign. So let's say the chassan knows that the girl is not a besula. He knows from personal experience. He knows that the girl is not a besula. So, but he doesn't want to embarrass the girl. So is there anything wrong if you write Hador Besulta? So there's nothing wrong. He wants to make a Hador Spaldin that the girl is a Besula. Fine. So the Achrayim have a meaning. The Pesachet Shuvah quotes this. What if the girl is Nivula by a guy? So she's not allowed to marry a Kohen. But the Chosin is not a Kohen. So it's not a problem. So the practice used to be in Europe, if the husband divorces her, so she'll become a Grusha later on. She won't be allowed to marry a Kohen. If the husband dies, she'll be an Almana. So she will be permitted to marry a Kohen, but if she was Nivula to a Goy beforehand, so Nivula L'Apostle makes her into a Zaino, so she's not allowed to marry a Kohen. So the practice used to be, when a girl would become an Almana, and they would discuss if she's allowed to marry a kohen. So they would look in the ksuba, what did they write the first time? So they wrote Pesulta. So they see everything fine. She was a psula until she got married. She married a Jewish man, so there's no problem. So the Acharonim say, if the girl is not a psula, say she was careful only to be mezana with Jewish men, so she's not psula lakuna. So if you want, the chassan can tell him, write a ksuba for a psula. Shani made a hadlas badin, the girl is a psula. But if the girl was nivula to a goy, a nivula to a mamzer or something like that, so then Acharonim have a chumra, you should put something into the ksuba that it should be a dead giveaway that the girl is asura lakuna. We shouldn't be misleading them later on in the event the first husband should die, you shouldn't think. So either you write ba'ulta, but if you're going to write, if they're going to hang it up on the wall, so you're going to write, so it could be that no one knows what it means. Okay, if none of their friends know what it means, no one knows how to read Hebrew, so hang up whatever you want. The rabbi doesn't have to read, if it says ba'ulta, he doesn't have to read what it says. Well, let's say the girl is a giyuris and people don't know. So he doesn't have to advertise to the whole public. It says giyurta and it says bas Avraham Avinu. So if the girl is sensitive about that, so let him not say giyurta. He can read besulta. He's supposed to write in the ksuba giyurta, but he can, bal peh, he doesn't have to say, no, not mechuyif to read every word that it says in the ksuba. He can say whatever he wants. Yeah, so the shaila is if you want to write bulta, so you can write itza, you have to write something. Itza shapir tada, this good looking girl. Itza shapir tada. So if you don't write besulta, so it's a dead giveaway that there's something fishy over here. So you don't necessarily have to write bulta, but you have to write something. That's how Chacham Avadya has in his tshuvas. In New York City, you have a problem. There's so many people, there's some millions of people here. There's so many people that have exactly the same name. So ksuba is supposed to be a shtar raya, it's not a shtar kinyan. The Kabbalah's kinyan suda makes the kinyan, and the ksuba, the document, is a shtar raya. So the principle is that a shtar raya has to be muchach mitoichai. You have to be able to tell from the text of the ksuba who owes money to whom. So if it just says Herschel married Shoshana, there are a million Herschels in New York City, a million Shoshanas. So how do you know which Shoshana, which Herschel? So you have to write the father's name. There are probably half a million Herschels and Shoshanas with the same Pliny ben Pliny, the same name. So the Mishnah says in the end of Bava Basra, if you have two Yosef ben Shimas who live in the same city, that's a Mishnah. Kufayim Beis Amid Aleph. So Ketzad Yasa, what do you do? It says Yishaleshu. They should write the grandfather's name also. New York City, it could well be you have many people with the same name, father's name and grandfather's name. You have millions of Jews in New York City. So the Mishnah says you should write Kohen Alevi. You see from the Mishnah that when you write the names, you don't have to write Kohen Alevi. It's only if you have two Yosef and Shimon in the same city, then you have no choice and you have to write Kohen Alevi. We always write Kohen Alevi. We always write Kohen Alevi. Yeah, so what are you going to do over here? So that's what Rav Moshe Feinstein writes in his Tshuvas, and Rav Soloveitchik insisted that you have to write family names also. You should write the first names and the Kohen and the Levi and the father's name and the family name, and that'll probably solve the problem. It'll probably be Muchach Mitoichai based on that. Muchach Mitoichai also requires a Shtar should be Muchach Mitoichai. You shouldn't leave any empty spaces. Let's say is going to say the chassid's name is Tzvi, and there's a long empty space, Tzvi Ben. So there's a long empty space. So the Edom are going to sign on the bottom, and some wise guy can write a whole bunch of other names. And then Ben, he'll write a whole bunch of other names there. A wise guy, he'll write the document as if it's written for someone else. So the Edom are not allowed to sign on such a shtar raya unless they do it to Yuta. The Gemara says, unless they put like in a check. You write how much the check is for. The check is for $500. So if you don't put X's in, you don't cross a line over there, you don't put a line there, someone can write $500 and $99. And you can add on more of the money over there, so you have to cross out till the end of the line. So in the ksuba also, you have to, whenever you have a printed text of a ksuba and there are empty spaces all over the place, you have to fill in the empty spaces to make sure that it's muchach mitoichai, otherwise it's not a valid shtar.
Should the witnesses also write their family name?
Rav Moshe Feinstein recommends that the witnesses also should write their family. Yeah, he himself, when he did weddings, he didn't put in the family name in the by the chazan column. But in his tshuvas, he recommends that you should. And the Rabbinical Council of America consulted Rabbi Soloveitchik before they printed the text of the Ksuba, so he recommended that they put in L'mishpachas. In the old Ksubas, they used to write Tzi Benei Melech HaMechune Shechta, because some Rishonim used the Loshon HaMechune for a family name. So Rabbi Soloveitchik recommended you shouldn't write HaMechune, because today, when you write a get, you always write HaMechune, another nickname on the first name. So he said it's better to write L'mishpachas. The Rambam, in the very beginning of Hilchas Ishus, quotes the mitzvah Lisa Isha B'Ksuba V'Kiddushin, quotes the mitzvah of, he quotes as two different mitzvahs, one mitzvah to get married, and another mitzvah to fulfill Piriviriviya, to have children. So when the Rambam writes that there's a mitzvah to get married, he writes, Lisa Isha B'Ksuba V'Kiddushin. What do you mean, Lisa Isha B'Ksuba V'Kiddushin? Ksuba is the Raisa. So Rabbi Soloveitchik explained the Poshup Pshat, that the Rambam is using the word Ksuba with a different meaning. He doesn't mean the document of the Ksuba. What he probably means is the Shibudi HaKsuba, that the Gemara has a Machlekes HaTanoim. What if a man marries a girl, Harei Mekudesh Esli Almanos, She'en Lo Chalai, She'er Ksus. I'm marrying you on the condition that I'm not Mechayiv to support you. Let's say she's a rich girl, so he says, I marry you on the condition. So it's a machlokes hatanaim. We paskin b'dov shemimam and tanoi kaim. Such a tanai is valid. So Rabbi Soloveitchik said that tanai is valid, but it's not yotze in the mitzvah of getting married. You're only yotze in the mitzvah of getting married. Lisa isha b'ksuba v'kiddushin. If you marry the girl and you have shibudim to the girl, if you have obligations to support her, but if you make such a tanai, the marriage is valid, but you're not in fulfillment of the mitzvah. The normal way to fulfill the mitzvah is by having a shibud ksuba. But the Rambam doesn't mean the document of the ksuba. He doesn't mean the chiyuv to pay the masayim zuz that the Rambam writes is only with the Rabbanan. All the Rishonim, except for this Rabbeinu Tam, that the Rosh quotes, and the first parak in Siman Yud Tes, they all hold that the ksuba is lav deraisa. So when the Rambam writes about ksuba being deraisa, he means the shibudi haksuba deraisa. I had an uncle passed away already. He was a musmach from the yeshiva, so he was a rabbi in Plymouth, Massachusetts, for many years. So once a Jewish couple came along to get married. So he was filling out the ksuba. He asked the girl, are you a virgin? So she said, Rabbi, what century do you think we live in? So my uncle was brought up on the east side, so he got some nervous. He called Amosha on the telephone, what does he do? So Amosha said to him in Yiddish, Na reine, fool, berdet gehesen fregen. Who asked you to ask the girl whether she's a virgin or not? A girl comes to get married. You don't have to ask him any questions. If I know that the girl was nivola to pasolo, if I know she was nivola to a goy, so then the minig is you put something in. Instead of writing besulta, you write something else. But you don't have to ask so many questions. You just tell the chassan. When the girl's getting married for the first time, you give a larger amount of the ksuba. The girl's getting married for the first time, a larger amount. He shakes his head, shy. You don't have to ask all the questions, whether the girl is a psula or the girl is a bula. You assume that the girl is a besula. All the rabbis recommend, it's usually noisy at a chasana, so it's always intelligent to fill out the ksuba in advance. Because you're going to fill out the ksuba when everybody's tumbling and everybody's drinking l'chaim, you're probably going to make a mistake. Then you're going to have to do it all over again. Okay, what else do we have to know? There is a Ramon Hilchus Shtoris in Siman Lamed Tes, the Hilchus Shtoris, where the Ramon says, L'chatchila ein lecha shum shtar, shum nemechzik yishikra. L'chatchila, you shouldn't write a shtar miyuchar. What does that mean? Let's say, I'm lending you money, and we know what today's date is, and I'm going to write a date from next month. So you're going to be walking around with the shtar. It's going to have next month's date. So that's mechzik yishikra. It looks funny. So the Rambam says l'chatchila ein lecha shum shtar. If you wrote a shtar meuchar, it was good. So the shibunus only begins next month. So Rabbi David Feinstein printed many years ago. Let's say a couple is getting married. Let's say they're filling out the ksuba bayom and the chup is going to be balayla. So Rabbi Moshe Feinstein says you have to write the date from balayla. Okay, then he backed out. And the shibunus, he backed out. So is that a problem? So that's not a problem. By the time the chosin is going to give the shtar to the kala, is going to be tonight. The mechzik kashikra is only, the kala is going to be walking around with a shtar today that has tomorrow's date on it. That's mechzik kashikra. But if we're not going to give it a ksuba till tonight, so then there's no problem. Well, let's say a couple is getting married ben hashmashas. So the people say, oh, you can't get married ben hashmashas. Why can't you get married ben hashmashas? Because you don't know what date to write. What's the problem? So you write tonight's date. Mechzik kashikra. Come on, mechzik kashikra. By the time they're going to go to the yichud room, it's going to be already tzeisa kachov. How long does the whole chuppa take? The mechzik the ben hashmashas is not for 3 hours. Ben hashmashas, half an hour ben hashmashas. So there's nothing wrong. It's permissible to get married ben hashmashas. We spoke yesterday, I think, that early Achrayim said that it's not right to get married by Lila. That when the later Amoroi made this takana, Mishena Debetiv Git Mikadushan La Yehela Esikim Moim, so the takana required that you should have a dayan who's memuna on the get, a dayan who's memuna on the kiddushin. So because you need a dayan, and in Torah, Kviyas Bezdin, Kalan Bi Bayom, so the Achrayim came up with this chumra, that you shouldn't get married by Lila. And you shouldn't do a get by Laila. So in the Shulchan Aruch, they only quoted from the Maharam Mintz, they only quoted the half by the get. In Hilchos Git, they say that the Mesadera get should not be related to the husband or the wife because he has to function like a dayan, and you can't have it, you can't have a kviyas bezim by Laila, so l'chatchila shouldn't do a get by Laila. But so in Shulchan Aruch, they never quoted the other half, the by Kiddushin as well. So that's why it's a common practice that people do get married by Laila, and they do have relatives perform as Mesadi Kiddush. But the Knesset HaGdola writes over there, when he was appointed rabbi in Constantinople, he first became aware of such a strange practice that people get married by Laila, and he said it's not right, and he reversed the practice. He insisted you have to get married by Yom. Okay. So more correct is to get married by Yom. And that the Masada Kiddush should not be related to the Chosin Kal. If you got no choice, there are ways to negotiate. You have to make sure the Eidim on the Ksuba are kosher la'edis. They shouldn't be ganovim. They shouldn't be cheaters who cheat in business. And they shouldn't be related. They shouldn't be kroivim. You have to know which kroivim are posel la'edis. A Medina, Medina, Gemara. Two brothers are called Rishon Berishon. Two sisters are Rishon Berishon. Even if the sisters are both married, and you apply Baal Ki Ishta twice, that's also Pasul Eidus. The Rama says, whenever you say Baal Ki Ishta twice, that's only Midirabbanan. In Atar, you only say Baal Ki Ishta once. So if you have two sisters who are both married, and you're going to have the two brothers-in-law together, so that's only a Psul Midirabbanan, but that is Pasul Midirabbanan. If the two brothers are the two sisters, that's Gerishon Berishon. The two brothers have children, so the first cousins. So the first cousins are called Sheni B'Sheni, second generation. If you have an uncle and a nephew, that's called Rishon B'Sheni. If you have two cousins, called Sheni B'Sheni. So Sheni B'Sheni, if one cousin is a boy, one cousin is a girl, and a girl is married, so you say Baal Ki Ishta once. On Sheni B'Sheni level, the Pasul Eidus. If you have two girl cousins, and they're both married, then Mikra Din, you don't say Baal Ki Ishta twice on the level of Sheni B'Sheni. On the level of Rishon B'Sheni, if you have an aunt and a niece, and they're both married, the aunt is married and the niece is married. So you have two men, Rishon B'Sheni, with two Baal Ki Ishta. So that's a machloikas, the Baal Amor and the Ramban. And that's two opinions in the Mechaber. So we avoid that. So as far as the Ksuba is concerned, that's all. It only goes till the level of Sheni B'Sheni with one Baal Ki Ishta. And Rishon B'Shlishi is a machloikas, let's say my grandfather's brother. My grandfather had a brother. We hardly ever saw him. We used to live in Pennsylvania, he used to live in New York. We hardly ever saw him. We didn't know too much about him. So that's a machlokes harishonim, with a shlishi berishon, a grandfather and a grandson. There was one opinion in the Gemara that that's kosher leidus, and we don't pass like that. Gemara says, well, hitzuchas ha'achi, a grandfather, a grandson, you don't say that that's rishon b'shlishi and it's kosher. A great grandfather, that's a machlokes already. Some rishonim hold a great grandfather with a great grandson are kosher leidus together. But we avoid that. But the grandfather's brother with the great nephew, so that's machlokes. So we avoid that too. Rishon Mishlishi is machlokes. So for the ksuba, we follow the din in Shulchan Aruch. For the edim on the kiddushin, when he gives over the ring, If a datum is signed again, then there's a chumra from achrenim. You don't even permit revi b'revi with two balki yishtas. Revi b'revi, often they won't even know each other. Revi b'revi means third cousins. So they often won't even know who they are. But lachatchil, if you know that people are related, you should make sure. Every so often you hear about stories that people singled out kosher eid, and then they were surprised to find out that this relative was close enough to be possible eidus. Okay. Everyone should have a happy marriage. Good. Rav Moshe Feinstein writes in his Chubas that Medina de Gemara, the chosen is mukhif to pay for the wedding dinner. The common practice is that the Kala's father pays for the wedding dinner. And the Gemara has dinim based on the assumption, Shulchan Aruch has dinim based on the assumption that the chosen pays for the dinner. Eidonim terech besuda mafsida. Rav Moshe says, but today the dinim shouldn't apply. So he says it's self understood that if they ever get divorced, the girl's father paid for the dinner, it was a loan. And if they get divorced, the chosen has to pay for the dinner. So I remember there was one couple who had to get divorced. They were not happily married for many, many years, and the husband only insisted, I have to do the get. So they got divorced in my home. And I have to make all the monetary arrangements. I told him, and the girl was a very wealthy girl when she got married. Her father spent, they got married 50 years ago. Her father spent at least $100,000 on the wedding. So I made him pay $100,000 for the ksuba and $100,000 for the wedding meal. He was unhappy that he chose me.
I heard it used to be done most of the time.